Okay, yeah.
Blog Talk
so,
Radio.
Yeah, like I was saying, it's the Academy that...
Listening to another episode of the Dopeness interview series brought to you by USA Blog Network. We are live with a special guest. His name is Jabril. You may call him Jabrilville. He has so much style. It's hard to contain him in a box. You can say that it's reggae. You can say that it's world hip hop. I've even heard African pop. But all in all, it's just great music. He's an Academia Award winner for, his series called Black Cadillac. Now we're on the EP Black Cadillac Part 2. The song you just listened to was Jessica off of that album. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm so blessed, man. I'm so blessed. Yesterday, Jessica and I came up to some mountains, man, up here in New York City, in the Catskill area, just to relax. And, you know, I'm glad I get to do this interview here where my mind is nice and calm and far away from the hustle and bustle of the city and Brooklyn, you know. So, yeah, so blessed, man. Everything is good.
I can feel that.
Happy about it. Yeah, happy about the release and the response to season two. Amazing. Season one had a great, 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 great debut. And I got the chance to work with Commissioner Gordon, who, you know, did the Lauryn Hill album production and mixing.
Wow.
So he kind of helped me tighten it up, and you know, that was great. You know, the Academy Award down in California gave it such great reviews. And so now we're on season two, and, you know, season one was more, you know, I was just trying to address, you know, some of the social situations that we get into in life, you know. So it had records like Freedom, you know, which was me just trying to, you know, voice out, you know, that artistic element where you just need some your freedom to create as opposed to, and then you also need to, you know, work 9 to 5 and all of that. So, you know, for artists, there's a balance there, you know.
Yeah.
And then there was the record Microphone, where, you know, it's, you know, for an artist to be heard, you need your mic. You know, like Nas said, one mic, that's all it takes. You know, and then you have Kings and Queens and A Long Way, which were more in the reggae direction. You know, a big influence for me growing up in Ghana. You always you hear somebody's playing Bob Marley somewhere. Every corner, every social environment back in Africa, Bob is heavy. So he influences us up growing up. So that's the reggae element. And then coming into season two, yeah, for the first time in my life, I've been in a loving relationship. Well, not loving like the first time, but I guess the longest relationship. You know, I've been with Jessica for 6 years. So when it was time to write season two, you know, I wanted to just focus on my love life, because I feel like, you know, to make it, you know, you get the pow, you know, in the beginning of a relationship, and then, you know, you get the flat line, and then you get the down, and then you get the up. And I was like, you know what, this is my love story, but it's a universal love story. You just got to hold on to it. Hence, you know, the different songs, which are all surrounded around that love bubble, whether it's the up or be done with it. Like,
yeah, I saw that.
Where I'm just
I
like,
saw that. So it's a lot of love songs, but it's told from different perspectives.
Yes, that was all. You know, the original design of the Black Cadillac season is I wanted to write music that was visual. You know, to this time in this era, Netflix and Amazon Prime, and, you know, I sit at home and watch a lot of TV shows. And so I'm like, okay, how can I present a theme of music that would be easily translated? Like, you, when you're listening to it, you're looking forward to the connection of a theme, you know? And so that's why, you know, the season is in there, and it's not just, oh, the Black Cadillac part one or part two. I want the whole thing to come together. Almost in a way where, you know, we all watch Star Wars, and it's like in the beginning, it started at the end, and then the end comes to the beginning. So I'm hoping one day when I'm blessed enough to have enough money to fund the project, we can always go back and start shooting the visuals. Because so far there's no visuals for the seasons, but it's only because I don't think I have the right tool to make it as impactful as the music is.
As it should be, yeah.
So, you know, we're waiting for that blessing as well.
So thank you so much, man.
Thank you for checking it out. I saw your platform. I reached out, and the love is incredible. I actually started out, one of my first records I wrote in Chicago. Yeah, one of my first records that I got a lot of recognition for, and it's actually one of the closest records to my heart. So, you know, I lived in the Shy. I've been in the Shy for a year or two. This was in 2000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 2009. So I got a lot of love for Chicago as well.
Okay, so coming away from Ghana, when did you make that trip to the States? At what age?
That trip, yeah, it happened I was 20 years old. It was in 2001. So, you know, kind of right after the 9/11 episode. So it's very interesting because, all right, so I get here in 2001. And again, like I just mentioned, I come to O'Hare, to Chicago, you know, live with my sister on the west side for about a year or two, and started, you know, writing music. But at that time, I was with a partner. His name is One Love. So we had the group Rapscallions. So I would travel from Chicago to Texas while we were working on our first album then. It's called Illegal Immigrant. And then through then, my journey started. After we finished the record, I think this is around 2004, you know, I wanted to go to school because, you know, growing up in Ghana, you know, I finished everything up to university, and one of the aims of coming here was to go to school. My sister was in LSU, so that was one of the universities I was looking at. But then it so happened that I ended up in Alcorn State University, which is one of the first biggest black schools, you know, historically speaking, when it comes to black universities in the States. So I got, you know, I've always been blessed with these opportunities to see things from from the roots perspective of it. You know, going to Alcorn State, being in Mississippi, being in the back of the country. You know, all my friends are from Mississippi. And something that stuck out, to be quite honest, and it's weird how it translates into the music I'm writing now, is one of my big homies in school. You know, I'm a chief. I mean, this is radio, so I mean, you know, I'm a Rasta man. And one of my main partners, who, you know, we in school and always used to, you know, he had the hookup. Always used to roll in a black Cadillac, and he would never stop talking about his Cadillac. Like, yo, G man, this is, you know, this is the premium American car. Obviously, I'm from Africa, so he's putting me on game. He like, yo, dude, you gotta get you a Cadillac. He like, when you make some money in the hood, you gotta get you a Cadillac.
Right. Wow.
You know, so that kind of stuck with me, you know. And so, you know, fast forward now, I live in Brooklyn, New York, and, you know, you see the Escalades, and, you know, you see all these Cadillacs, and there's always a level of suspicious, like, who's in there? Is it a celebrity? Is it a, you know, is it just the neighbor who got money? Is it the dope boy who got money? Like, who is in that Cadillac?
Hilarious,
and that's why when it was time to start writing this record, I'm like, I'm going to call this whole season the Black Cadillac, because it represents a lot from my journey, and also wanting to give my fans the best premium music, the best. It's like that Cadillac. It's like riding on butter. I don't know if you drove one, but there's just a level of comfort, and you know that ties into the theme of the feel that I want. The way I want the music to impact the listener.
The content, the rich content. I got you.
Yes. So after Chicago, I went to Mississippi, went to school for a bit, ended up in Cincinnati, Ohio for a little while. Not the best experience, but you know, we live and learn. Got into a lot of different situations. Again, I got a little bit of a troublesome side to me. So Cincinnati was a rough one. And then after that, my sister moved to Jersey, you know, so I ended up in Jersey with her. You know, it's always good, nice to have some family around. I did the Jersey thing from 2008 to 2011. And then the biggest trouble of my life, like immigration and everything, you know, that thing just capsized my boat. Yeah, I had a situation with, you know, ICE. I was at work. I worked at a car dealership at the time, and I was just, you know, working on some records with EMI, which is a distribution label. Things were looking good back then, but, you know, sometimes there's a longer path because, you know, so certain people just are destined to experience certain things. You know, it is what it is. So I overcame that, though. We overcame that in 2012. We got released back, and, you know, everything was good. You know, I got the right situation with the immigration authorities in this country.
Did they make you go back to Ghana for a time?
Well, they were actually going to deport me. They detained me for, like, 9 months with the intention of deporting me back to Ghana.
Wow.
And then,
they had you in the center, huh?
Yeah. I was in there for 10 months. Pretty much in jail, man, in prison, you know, in the system. I was inside the belly, you know. And after a lot of prayers and a lot of perseverance and just trying to state my case, like, yo, now imagine this. I came here in 2001, so this is like 10 years later. I was 20 years old when I came here, and now I'm 30. So, like, there's a part of me that's been raised as an adult in this country, not in Africa. I was a teenager in Africa. So there was a level of anxiety and like, oh my God, I'm going to be lost if I go back and not, you know, just overnight. You know, it needs to be a process. So the whole 9 months, I really did not want it to end up in me being deported, because I just didn't know where I was. I mean, music is everything to me, but to have that foundation that I had built just ripped under my feet, I wasn't sure how I would land, on my head, on my ass, like, what the fuck? But, you know, with God and prayers and all that good stuff, you know, I landed on my feet. They didn't deport me. They just released me back into the country. And then I moved to, I was, you know, again, another blessing came. 2012, met Jessica. She was living in Brooklyn. You know, it didn't make sense having the two different apartments because it looked like it was going to be a serious relationship. So then I went to 2012, and then I was like, all right, what are we going to do? I had put out a few indie projects then. Done a project called Believe in Jabril, which I actually released while I was in detention. And I had a project called 27, which is my birthday. I was born on November 27th. But then I dedicated that 27 project to, you know, there's a club called the 27 Club where a lot of artists who died at the age of 27, Janis Morissette, Jimi Hendrix, a lot of great musicians belong to this club. So I wanted to also feed into that energy because, again, you know, it's legendary music. So then I did the 27 project and wrote a couple records surrounding the issue of drug abuse and, you know, from my personal experience and also from a worldly perspective. And so with all that growth musically, I'm living in Brooklyn, and the whole Black Cadillac project, let me tell you how it started, and everybody's going to, you're going to see this in season three, because season three, I chose to save the theme song for season three and not season one or two. So it comes full circle in season three, but the inspiration came because I live on the same block Biggie used to live on in Best-Eye on Jefferson and Bedford Avenue. And right not too far down
Jefferson,
from that block.
Jefferson, the livest one.
There you go. So, you know, again, being blessed, like, I meet this wonderful woman, happened to move to Brooklyn, you know, I'm a hip-hop head, and next thing I find out, wow, like, Biggie used to live around the corner, like, get out of here, I need to soak all this inspiration and make a big record. So I wrote a record that I dedicated to the legacy of Biggie Smalls and Tupac, and that record is called Black Cadillac. And when I was
that's what we got to look forward to.
It's a huge band ensemble, and it's actually, it's not even, like, I use very little original lyrics. I just use the original, my writing in the chorus and the third verse, but literally the first and second verse is all Biggie and Tupac verses that I kind of, like, took a line from here, took a line from there, took a line from here to just highlight, you know, the fact that these legends, like, as a rapper, there's always this nostalgic about biting other people's records. But it's okay for the next American Idol to sing a Celine Dion song and do it over again. And ain't nobody going to look at the reference. They're just going to look at the talent. So I was like, well, let me use my talent to put together this body of work that the only thing I write that's original in it is the chorus, but the verses are word for word, line for line, different songs from Biggie and Tupac. And how can I make that a story? And that's the pinnacle of season three.
So we just went from season one of Black Cadillac all the way through to the future. We're in the future now. Season three.
Oh, yeah, we're in the future because season four is also finished. So I'm...
Oh, wow. Hold off on that note. We want to leave something for after the break. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and we're going to play another track from season two, Black Cadillac, Jabrilville. It's called Or Be Done With It. So it's kind of like the ups and the downs in the relationship. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about inspirations, Bob Marley. We're going to talk about season four, what's the future holds for the artist. We'll be right back, y'all.
but I don't know how to talk to you no more. I've been going around in circles, smoking deep purple, trying to figure out why I always hurt you. Is it my quick tempo or is yours just quicker? A smart mouth or is yours just clever? Either way, I know we belong. We can change like the weather and build our shelter. Make our own way through the pain and the storm. Sometimes it gets crazy, we bang like thunder. Sometimes I make you cry, I lose my mind like a broken heart. My love goes blind, I'm the one to blame. Cause I act off cool, the mood chills, it ain't cool. We in the same bed, we don't screw. Make up sex, no break up sex. We try to put it together, but things fall apart. But it's times like this, we both pull back. Wake up in the morning and the mood is all whack. But it's times like this, we need to make up pact. To work on knowing each other, healing each other, loving each other, teaching each other, leading each other, not misleading. And making each other be the best we can be by holding on to each other, protecting each other through the good and the bad. Understand each other, other. Enough of the bullshit, enough of the argument. I don't wanna lose you, but I don't know how to talk to you no more. Enough of the bullshit, enough of the argument. I don't wanna lose you, but I don't know.
So that was another one. That was another one. It's called Or Be Done With It. And that's off of Black Cadillac Season 2. Is that correct?
Yes, that is very, very correct. Now, I was actually supposed to be the last song to Season 2. But then I got a nice chance to work with a producer. He sent me a beat. And he does a lot of work with, you know, the new era folks like the Kodak Black and what's the cat's name who's with Bird Money, with Cash Money. I mean, I was gonna say Birdman. Bird Money. Wow. The new cat. He has that raspy voice.
I don't know. He just found somebody.
Yeah, no. Well, he's not that new. He's like 3-4 years in the game, but he's one of their main artists now over there, Cash Money. Anyway, so this producer works a lot with him, and so happens that the producer is very close friends with somebody I went to school with in Mississippi. So, you know, he made the link for me and was like, yo, I've, you know, check this beat out, because he heard the record, so he, you know, it's something that I would like. And I was like, oh my God, this is dope. I'm very, very, very particular with my production. So even though it had a trap feel to it, it also had the richness that I like to hear in music. And so I ended up writing a record to it called Just Like You, which I was still in the same space I was in, like trying to figure out exactly, you know, the full circle of a relationship and at what point, you know, you're either done with it or at what point where, you know, you leave the relationship, but then you realize that everything you're looking for outside of it relates to that one person. So you're always looking for a chick that's just like her. You're always looking for a character that's just like her. So once the record was done and, you know, I was happy with it, I was like, oh my God, this just needs to be in Season 2. So it's the only one that, if you notice on the cover, Just Like You is not on the wall. So I just made it a bonus song, and, you know, and I think it really completed Season 2 more than if I just left it off at Or Be Done With It. Because that was my second favorite
because it's a contrast from kind of like the happy up-tempo songs from
mm-hmm.
the album, and it really
yep.
has a real feel to it because it's something that people go through in any relationship, that up and that down.
And that down. Yep, 100%. It's actually my favorite record out of a lot of records, and I still haven't got a chance to perform it live, but we have a show coming up December 30th, and I'm actually going to start the concert with that record, and I'm really looking forward to it. Because for me, one of the most intimate parts of my performances is the beginning. because, you know, everything explodes after like track 6, 7 once I get warm and I start doing the bigger records. But that intimacy in the beginning of the show that I like to capture, you know, I like it to be as real as possible, relating to bringing the listeners in so they don't just feel like they're just, you know, they're just here to be entertained, but then they feel like they're actually here to be a part of an experience. So I'm so looking forward to that.
So we got about 5 more minutes left. So I want you to touch briefly on this question about and I do want to touch on that, the realness of the songwriting. And I told you behind the scenes that when I listened to Black Cadillac, it took me back to like the first time I listened to legend Bob Marley. Do you get that comparison a lot with your songwriting, or how deep the lyrics are?
This is I do get it a whole lot, and not just like a whole lot to blow the horn, because that's a huge, that's like, Charlie, there's no
that's
other
a big,
way
some big shoes
ever,
to fill, right?
Like, I totally melt. I really melt when I
but
hear
no
that.
Literally listening to Jessica, it sounds like the riffs, like some of the instruments are like, it sounds like I shot the sheriff.
The sheriff,
you know?
Wow. You're so right. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, from a, let's talk about the production standpoint. You see, I've been listening to Bob Marley since, like, you know, since Ghana, like my before teens, because, you know, my big brother was heavy into reggae and my dad always had records. So as I grew as an artist and as a producer, because I have a very, very big part of the production, even though I'm not playing any strings, I don't play an instrument, but I'm very close with the musicians. The production on Jessica, what you're hearing there is very experienced and skilled reggae musicians, you know, that I collect, you know, like the organs, you know, the strings, the rhythms, every element in the production is played by very seasoned vets, and that's a blessing, because me myself, I can't sit down and tell them what to play, but then I just ask them, you know, I don't write the music. I'm like, it's almost like going to different rappers and being like, oh, freestyle, and then you take the freestyle and then you go and you take your best bars and put it all together. And that's just because I listen to Bob's music first, the lyrics catch you. But then if you're musically inclined, you start hearing the production and you start hearing the different elements. Then when you do your research, you're like, wow, I mean, the Wailers is really like a 12-piece band. Like, this man had a lot of talent around him. And I believe he allowed them to be themselves and express themselves, because he was going to hold it down with the writing and also with the arrangement. And so that's a very special part of a gift that an experience that I have developed from listening to Bob. And I try as much as possible to bring it into what I do, because believe it or not, since I was like 10, 11 years old, I've always had a Bob Marley poster.
Hey, Jabril, we're nice winding down. We got 60 seconds, so... So what I want you to do,
I want you to all over the world listening. This is Jabrilville. You can find us on Twitter at Jabrilville, GIBRILVILLE. Shout out to Chicago. I can't wait to come out there and play. Let's do it.
Pick up. All right. So that right there was Jabrilville. Check him out across USA Blog Network very, very soon, within coming days. EP is Black Cadillac Season Part 2. All right. Now check out all of the seasons, because he's going to come with waves in 2018. We might see Part 3 and Part 4 pretty quickly, as he described. So make sure you stay in tune with Jabrilville at Jabrilville on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's GIBRILVILLE. All right, y'all. It's been another one. Until next time, And to you, sir, salute, man. Very dope interview.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. I really enjoyed the interview as well, man. Salute back to you and your team back there. Because I know it takes a team to put this show together. It takes a team to... So everybody in the building with you right now, shout out, big up, massive. Have a blessed day.
You too, sir. Have a good weekend, man. We'll be in touch.
All right, King.
All right.